What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Shoe Podcast. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your co-host, Tanner Young.
And if you're listening to this one on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, come join us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@ShoePodcast, because we're coming back at you today with a video episode, the 4K visuals, because we're sitting down with the one and only DJ Hennessy. DJ Hennessy, thank you for coming on the show, man.
Appreciate y'all for being here, bro.
Of course. Thank you for having us in your space. It's so incredible in here to have the wall of shoes right behind us, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me feel like at home, but like my house feels like we have this at home. You know what I mean? Like this is it.
Yeah. This is the McDonald's.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm at the McDonald's. My house is we have McDonald's at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you guys like it, bro.
Of course.
Letting us into your actual home. So the hospitality has been...
Hospitality.
Thank you.
Not the hostility. You've been
almost at hospital
the entire time. Yeah.
Almost at hospital.
The hospital that you have here is incredible.
Yeah. It's amazing, bro. Me and my girl have been here for about going on 3 years now. And
great space.
It's probably the best apartment I think
it's sick for sure.
Been in Baton Rouge thus far.
Yeah. So looking forward to talking with you today. We're going to talk about everything. You know, you're a sneakerhead, you're a model, you're a DJ. You are very obviously a sneakerhead if we can go ahead and just address the elephant in the room. So let me go.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to start here real quick. I put on the Puma and Roland collab TR-808s from Machine, right? DJ, I'm like, I'm going to hit the chord with him.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, for a week now, I've had my head, I'm like, I got something cooking here. Today, Tanner and I are out shopping and we stop at Ruckus for a bit and he's like, I'm going to buy a new pair of shoes. I'm like, that's sick. You should do that.
He put me on as well.
Oh, and he put you on as well. You should do that. You haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
And then we get back to the house. He's like, I think I'm going to wear those today. And I'm like, okay, new pair of shoes, a little bit of shine there. That might be something. And then we get here and my man throws on the unreleased Sample Politics Ultra Boost stacks the Travis Scott Lowe's, the SB Jordan 4s, and the KIY Kicks right next to it to just quickly humble both of us and say, you might have came with something, but you're in my house in this moment, you know?
Yeah.
I mean.
When in Rome.
Yeah.
You know, when you have the arsenal, this is the time to put it out there.
I mean, and it's not like, you know, I was able to bring it somewhere, you know?
Right.
It's where they live. So.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, you got unreleased pairs on now when you're in the home, which is probably maybe the only time you're gonna wear unreal, you know. So it's like, I don't know how many times you could be like, you know, you really got to check the weather report. If you're, you know, not only is it unreleased, also a white shoe.
I only pulled these out because you guys were coming. They'd just be sitting right up here.
Humbled. If I could look directly into the camera, we are both size 11, Blaine and or Derek and or anyone else we might know. We're both size 11. If you send one pair, I'll wear the right and Tanner will wear the left. Just whatever it might take.
Whatever.
Shout out to Blaine, though. Blaine came through.
Yeah.
Came through. Sick. And they blessed me.
Yeah.
Shout out to Blaine, Fletch, Derek, everybody a part of it. Like,
also, everyone come on the show. Everyone. We had Blaine, but Derek, Fletcher, you know, everyone come on the show.
Yeah, man.
Get the whole family.
So, let's go ahead for everyone that may not know you. Can you tell us just quickly a little bit about yourself, where you grew up?
Yeah, DJ Hennessy. I'm from Plaquemine, Louisiana. Born and raised there. Went to Plaquemine High School, class of 2011. Shout out to Green Devils. Everybody out there, all my classmates. You know who you are. Went from there to Loyola University. Did 3 years there, unfortunately. Didn't finish.
Oh, I thought you were saying, unfortunately, you went there. I was like, Loyola's a great school. A lot of people would kill to go to Loyola.
Nah, I love Loyola. Loyola, like, helped. If it wasn't for that university, I don't think I'd be the person I am today.
Okay.
Like, it helped shape my music career as well as, you know, my music and fashion taste.
There's a lot you get from a university outside of a degree.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
A lot of networking and connections.
One thing I can say, my first year at Loyola, we used to take this class called freshman forum type deal.
Okay,
We all go to the auditorium, everyone in the music industry program. And there was this guy my freshman year who said he left school his freshman year. Like, and he got a job working for like this big movie company.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Where he's just a music supervisor, someone who just picks songs for TV shows.
What?
So seeing that dude talk, you know.
Yeah.
Who would have been a sophomore?
Yeah,
talk to us about, you know, I quit.
I've already got a career.
Wait, so he wasn't a student. He was like a speaker that they brought in.
He was a student.
Oh, okay. He left and came back.
Yeah, he quit his freshman year.
Gotcha. Okay.
And got an amazing job. It's all about who you know.
Yeah.
All through his roommate.
I don't want to say they should have.
they should not have given him the microphone to a bunch of freshmen.
Yeah,
to a bunch
he should, of freshmen like, shouldn't have.
Boy, the motivation to finish is real low now.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess just hearing him talk, it tapped me in with the mindset like, I need to get the most out of this place while I'm here.
Yeah.
And I saw that's what he did, and he had a great job, pulled up in a great car, left in a great car. So I was like, well, this guy had it figured out. It's about who you know. Let me lock in on what it is I want to do.
Yeah.
And see where it goes from there. So shout out to him. I don't even remember his name.
If you're watching, I'm sure you are. Yeah, yeah. And so was college then where you really got into music, or was it before then even that you kind of had like a spark for it?
High school gave me the spark for music. Like as a kid, I always wanted to be a DJ, which is like a crazy thing to kind of want to be, I guess. Just because, you know, the only DJ I could think of was like Run DMC's Jam Master J and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
I was good. Okay. All right. Jazzy Jeff growing up was the one you saw on TV all the time, of course, you know?
Of course. And, you know, shout out to my dad. Whenever I told him I wanted some turntables, that Christmas he went out and bought me a pair of turntables that Rev Run had on Run's house at the time.
Wow.
Shout out Run's house as well. What a program.
Yeah, so shout out to my dad for bringing those home. And that kind of started my want to be a DJ and to pursue music, really. So from that point, I started recording like my friends, purchased some recording equipment, Pro Tools, had a laptop, brought a microphone, $100 mic.
Sure. Just something to get by at least, you know?
Just something to get by.
And especially as a kid, like $100 is a lot.
That's a big mic.
You know?
It's a lot.
Like I was telling you before we started, I'm a drummer. So like growing up, we were in a band. And when we wanted to record ourselves, $100 interface was like, that might be nice in like 2 years, you know? Like there's no shot we're going to have it. Yeah.
And I had like the little M Audio.
The little like M-Box.
Little M-Box. Yeah. M-Box 2 to be exact.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
The mini version. And really just, you know, locked in, started recording my older cousin's friends who had a rap group at the time. Okay. So they would come over to the house after school every day and record. And then my best friend, who I was telling you guys about earlier, I found out that he could sing just randomly.
It's on a whim.
It's on a whim. Was like, you know, let's record a song. Found out he could sing and we're like, bro, let's.
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, that helped me. You know, shape me who I am now. And, you know, just it let me know that it was possible.
Yeah.
Because I was never a person that wanted to be in front of the camera or to be the artist or anything like that. But
let me stop you right there and say thank you for coming in front of the camera for the guy that doesn't want to be.
Yeah. So this is all new for me.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we'll get to that. But Adam helped with that.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
With me being.
Shout out, Adam.
Cool, you know, comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah, there you go. Gotcha. And so growing up then, was there also a moment where you remember sneakers kind of coming into your life, or was that later in life?
Nah, I always loved shoes. Okay. I always loved shoes and I always loved clothes. My dad is a big Ralph Lauren person.
Okay.
So he has like the biggest polo collection I think I've ever seen.
Okay.
So seeing that with the clothes and my guard brother, who's a lot older than me. When I was in elementary school, he was playing varsity basketball, but he wore cool gray 11s. And his thing was the cool grays.
Yeah, yeah,
so he wore those, the cool gray 10s.
Cool gray everything.
Cool gray everything. Yeah, so seeing that kind of at a young age made me want those shoes specifically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then seeing him hoop in them
was
like a totally different thing. It like blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like,
cause at the time, did you want them more just to have them to like be cool and wear around, or were like you considering that performance aspect of it as well?
When I was that young, it never really clicked for me. Like the hype behind it, it never really registered until I want to say I got to high school.
Okay.
So I never started to register.
Yeah.
But there was one pair of shoes in elementary school that all of my classmates and all of my friends had that. It's the first memory of me wanting a shoe. And that was the Air Max Plus when they first came out.
Okay, gotcha.
95 Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
So when those shoes first dropped.
What colorway was that?
The red and black.
Oh, okay, got you.
Just because tough. Our elementary school colors was red and khaki.
Oh, okay.
So
you get a whole fit off.
Yeah, so they all had those, but my parents were very much into like purchasing me like Nike running shoes and things like that.
Oh, okay.
So growing up, I always had like the Presto Cages and the Nike Spider-Ons and the Nike Shocks.
Okay, got you.
And pretty much.
But the moment, the Shocks.
Shocks out of grip. They're coming back though.
Facts.
Which is wild.
Did you guys see the Martine Rose?
They're like a mule, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're like
crazy.
So, yeah. Just like those things gave me like, that want to be sneakers, not so much Jordans, which is why I love like a variety of shoes, like Ultra Boost.
A little bit more like runner style, you would say. Yeah, than
that's where I started.
Okay, yeah, especially, with that being the shoes that you kind of grew up with, that were the ones that were bought for you. They always hold that special little, you know,
always, piece to you. Always. It's just like seeing all of my classmates come to school in Jordans and stuff and knowing like, wow, like... That's the new stuff. That's the new Jordan 20s, like with the strap. Like those are like vivid memories I can't like ever forget.
And did you end up ever getting the Air Max Pluses or no?
No. I didn't get the Air Max Pluses until they re-released some years later and I was in college.
Okay, gotcha. But we need a retro of the black and red to like, you know, close the circle there.
We need a retro of the black and red.
Put the wish list out there.
And the blue and black.
Okay.
Need those two. And specifically, we need the Air Max 95s, the Tokyo joints.
Which colorway was the Tokyo one?
Was that the, I think that was the lime green and black.
Okay.
Like OG Air Max 95s.
Okay. I know. Yeah. OG Air Max 95s.
Yes. My god sister had all of those growing up.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that's where like the Air Max love and the runner love comes from.
Yep. Yeah.
Like every Air Max, she had it.
Yeah.
Like hands down.
Is she still a big Air Max collector?
She's more into Jordans now, actually.
Okay.
More into
Jordans. Changes.
Yeah, she calls me like, you know, once a month.
Yeah.
What's new coming out? I get the same
I'm sure
call.
You get several calls several times throughout the month.
Yeah.
Close to release date, the phone starts getting a little hot.
Yeah, which is why I tell her like, you know, she's my sister.
Yeah.
Like you can call me like a month early and ask. That way I can at least have it on my mind.
There you go.
Which I mean, speaking of people calling you, you know this, but I'm not sure that you know this. Probably for like the months of May through July, I would say, he would hear from me every week, every other week. Do you have the airship every game?
I wouldn't mind it though.
I know,
I wouldn't mind it.
You were nice about it, you're polite about it every time, and he always be like, I don't know if we're getting those. I'd be like, I saw Bodega post a picture. Bodega just got a pair, so I don't know if y'all are getting
the definitely pair. Said that.
I know, so.
Ryan was getting closer and closer to be like, don't lie to me. Just tell me you can't tell me.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he knows as soon as we got him.
He would let
he
me
was
know.
The first person.
Yeah, I know,
because I'm begged for a
because few
months now. Put the ear in your butt. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got to get in there.
That's all I ask for sometimes. Just give me a heads up.
Yeah. So then going, I guess, from like those high school years into college, and then what's the modeling is the next step from there? Or
well, prior to that, I started working at Champs.
Okay.
In college. I want to say this was like my sophomore, junior year of college.
This is New Orleans.
Yeah, in New Orleans, Lakeside Mall. I don't know if I still have the record for highest sales.
But at the time.
In one day.
Well, you had it at one
day,
point.
Yeah. One day.
Was it one specific release or were you just hustling that day?
Now it was one specific person. It was a guy who played for the Saints.
Okay,
ended
that'll
up
do
coming
it.
In rookie, dropping a bag. Yeah. So happened I was the person helping him and his friends.
Got you.
I wish I remembered who it was.
Yeah, some little guy drew something. I don't know. I don't remember the name.
What a wild thing to think, especially like, I guess with like today to think back then. You had an NFL player going to Champs.
Champs.
You know what I mean? I just feel like nowadays it would be like with all the boutiques and like specialty shops, that's obviously where people are going
to
go.
They would have definitely just went to politics.
Yeah.
So to think, it's funny to hear that. It's just like, Champs, he dropped a bag.
Definitely dropped
like,
a bag.
Just, that is just a great story. And then obviously, like you said, like not only, if anything, the fact if your record is broken, you'd be like, I did it in a day.
Yeah.
Hey.
Took you a month. Took me a day.
Yeah.
It took me a day.
They don't need to know.
An hour probably.
They don't even know as an NFL player. You can leave that aspect out.
Exactly. And that's what, just for the record, that's with no 1-2-3s with it, so that's like no insole.
I was just about to ask, did you upsell on the insoles and the rain protect? And wow,
nah, yeah. Just went that hard that day.
Even if your record's broken, it's not really broken.
Yeah,
nah, it's always up there in my head, like an accomplishment. You know,
there you go. No. That's a resume builder right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm putting. I'll never take that off.
Champs, you know, if it wasn't that long ago, I would still put on my resume.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. To the past now.
Yeah.
So that was your first experience, like, working sneaker retail then?
First experience.
What are some of the memories you have from that of, like, you know, lessons you learned or just, like, standout moments?
First lesson I learned, which was the hardest lesson, is that the game is messed up. And I learned that then. So you guys take with that what you want to do with it.
I was going to say, do you want to get into that or no?
Nah. But the
we'll read between the lines.
Yeah, the game is messed up. But I noticed that then. But that was also prior to the resale game becoming what it is. Mm-hmm. That was the era when Jordan was dropping bullshit.
Yeah, because if you finished high school in, what'd you say, 2011?
Yeah.
So this is what, 2012, 2013?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a whole lot of, I can't say bullshit, but it was a lot of stuff that we don't really care about now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I can vividly remember, except the Fear Pack.
Oh, classic.
Except the Fear Pack.
I got the fives.
Shout out to you.
I got the fives.
I was a college student, didn't have the money.
No.
So I missed out on the fives, the fours, and the threes.
That's like,
I can
shed a tear because of
we'll
that.
We'll do the
pack
whole
right
hour
there.
On the Fear Pack right now to get them.
But, you know, the Fear Pack is re-releasing, so that's something.
I saw that.
I'm looking forward to that.
There you go.
That's, I could, because I'm going to tell you what, I burned some rubber on them fives.
Yeah.
I don't blame you, bro.
I burned some rubber.
You going to pick them up, just wear them back to Champs, just a quick moment? Just
yeah,
like,
just a quick.
Look where I am now.
Look where I am now. Exactly. Like, I would like to.
Yeah, there you go.
And I wish my manager, who was at Champs at the time, was still,
still there. To see you glowing up now.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody was cool people.
Were there any other sort of, like, moments of, like, working there, of, like, crazy days or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. This was the era when they were trying to stop people lining up for shoes.
Oh, okay.
So this was the era where if you came to the store, and this was pre-raffles.
Okay.
So you came to the store, let's say mall opened at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
We would sell, not really raffle, but anybody who wanted the shoe, we would make a list.
Okay.
Like of reservations.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of reserve.
And some stores in the mall, like I think City Gear still does that, where it's like if you want one, you just go in ahead of time and put your name down, and assuming you get there early enough.
Like Dix does it now.
Okay, got you.
Dix does it. So we just, you know, have the list, and it got so crazy one day. And looking back on it, it was like the not the Toro Bravo Fours, but it was the like the Green Lantern Fours, like the like the Green Glow, whatever it was called.
Oh, the Green Glow. Okay,
well, green if it was glows, the Green Glow. Yeah.
Which didn't. No, those didn't just retro recently, did they?
No.
No, I found
I don't think any of those did.
Nope. I found a pair at Plato's is what it was. I remember finding a pair at Plato's. I was like, I wonder what these are going for now. They're going for nothing, by the way. So, yeah.
So,
but it's a good colorway.
I remember that shoe specifically, there being like a commotion in the store because, you know, people whose name was on the list, you know, never came to pick up.
Oh, and then after a certain point, you say, if you're not here, your pair's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. So, you know, and we stuck to that rule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, some pairs were going. Some people came back very upset. You know, there was a line of people waiting for
unclaimed pairs.
Unclaimed pairs on top of whoever the manager was at the time doing his thing.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was just like a bad look.
Yeah.
That's what I can say. It just turned out to be like a bad look.
Kind of have your moment where you're like, this is not so fun anymore. You know,
it's
It's
not even fun to be working.
Right, exactly. Working. Yeah.
So that was one memory I can definitely say I had and I wish never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Working at Champs, were you ever able to get access to anything or?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. The good thing about Champs, I want to say they gave us like a card.
Okay.
So it's like your discount card. Yeah, yeah. So you would only be able to use it up to like 5 times a month.
Okay, gotcha.
Discount.
Oh, wow, that's pretty sweet.
That's still pretty generous, yeah.
Dope. But
good discount?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Leave that's it at
good.
That.
Decent. Not better than politics.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's good. There you go.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. But a discount nonetheless. And yeah, it was just like, I don't know. It just got to a point in time where it just wasn't fun.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
It just wasn't fun. But I do have a lot of good memories from, you know, releases and being able to see shoes like Kaleidoscope LeBrons, like the LeBron 10 era, LeBron 8. Yeah, 7, 8 era.
And 8s were a pretty big era, weren't they?
Yeah. Pretty big era. That's whenever they did the Christmas pair with like the red and black with the green check.
Okay. Yeah.
That era.
Okay, gotcha.
And the 3 Lab 5s and the 5 Lab 3s.
Oh, like, yeah.
3 Lab 5s were one of those ones where it's like, did not age well, I would say. You know, it's well like you see them now and it's like no one wants to touch them.
Yeah. So that era, it wasn't the best era to be working in sneakers.
To your point, it's like Jordan Brand just putting out stuff of like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much better now, but.
Oh, for sure.
You know. Live and learn. Live and learn.
Yeah, that was just an era that, you know, I wish Jordan could just, like, scratch off.
Just erase it from memory. Like the FBI, not the FBI, the Men in Black, where they have just, like, the.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Another shoe that came out that time, I know you guys remember this, was the Reebok Zigs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, remember it.
And Reebok,
that was a funky shoe.
The Zigs, and they also made the shoe with, like, the suspension on it with, like, the plastic at the bottom.
The Spring Blades?
Spring Blades.
Oh, that my shoe. Gosh. Spring Blades is one that I erased from my memory.
That was what that Champs was plastic. Promoting at the time.
Yeah. Like, well, because that was supposed to be, like,
the next big thing.
The next big thing in running tech. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, propel you forward.
Uh-huh. The with Spring that Blades. Hard plastic. Jeez.
Yeah. Like, to this day, I've never seen anybody wear that shoe.
No. I've never seen anyone wear
it. I don't think they ever sold it.
Yeah.
But I did see the cast of Jersey Shore rocking the Reebok Zigs.
There you go.
They did pull up, you know.
So if someone got a fit off.
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah. Did anyone ever shoplift from the store that you, like, saw happen and you in the moment were had to be like, am I about to chase this guy out or is it not worth it?
Nah. At politics, yes.
Yeah.
What?
But, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. At politics, that has definitely happened. Not with shoes, really. Yeah. Because that'd be kind of hard for a person to pull off. Mm-hmm. But they've definitely tried to steal clothes. But there was a time where scamming had just became a thing in New Orleans.
Gotcha. Okay.
And there was a guy, well, it wasn't just one guy. It was a guy and a few people would just come to the store with like fake credit cards.
Oh, and swipe.
And swipe. So I do remember one day, like, there being an arrest made in the store because they had been looking for them for so long. And just so happened they swiped the card while they were in the store that day.
Wow.
And they were like undercover police in the store and everything. So it was.
You remember what they were trying to buy?
No, I don't.
Spring Blades.
Spring Blades.
Let's just say it was Spring Blades.
Yeah, the most petty crap. The officer showed up and said, you want these? Double arrested.
Yeah.
You were going to wear these?
Straight to jail. His punishment was having. That's
you
got to
wear the Spring Blades.
We're making you buy a toupee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
his probation was literally just making sure that he's wearing them.
Yeah. That happened.
Yeah, that's crazy. So from Champs, then, what's the next step kind of in your journey?
The next, like, real step, like, life step, I started interning for a DJ named Raj Smooth. I know you guys know who Lil Wayne is.
I'm somewhat familiar. I've heard the name.
But, you know.
Okay. Listen to a couple albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the same birthday, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is, like, some I'm just throwing out there. But September 27th, if anybody
cares. There you go.
Coming up.
Yeah.
But
you guys should do a joint birthday party.
That would be so hard.
Yeah, we'll put it out there in the universe. I'm sure he's watching.
I'm sure.
Everyone's
tuned in. I'm sure he is. I know Raj will probably be watching.
There you go.
But Raj is a guy I was interning with. He's a big-time DJ out of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. DJ for Cash Money as well as No Limit Records.
Okay.
Which is something else that's unheard of. But I was interning with him at his studio, and that was just like my next step into wanting to take DJing seriously. I was DJing around campus and stuff like that, but that was me trying to take being in the studio serious, right. learning as much about recording music, engineering, working with artists, just talking to artists, as well as making a good song. So I can, you know, thank him for a lot of that, just introducing me to the studio space and how to work with artists and giving me my introduction to the business without it being through school.
Was there one aspect that was harder to learn than the other? So was the technical side or maybe even the creative side of making music harder, or was it learning those artist relationships, kind of the whole dynamic with people there?
I'm a shy person, like naturally. Yeah. I'm a only child. I usually stay to myself when I'm not with friends or close associates.
Yeah.
That just gave me the, it taught me how to just talk to artists, be open and be willing to put yourself in a position that I wouldn't have put myself in a position for before. So it opened a lot of doors for me to take that into, you know, going to people and looking for different gigs and just being able to be professional about it, as well as them being able to take me serious for my talent.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely something in the moment of tracking, of like speaking to someone who's been on the other side of it, playing drums, laying down recordings. I've always recognized there's a very special talent of a producer and an engineer to get the best take out of someone without losing the creative juice and mojo along the way. You got to get a better take out of someone, but not make them feel bad or that they're not doing a good job. And that is a delicate walk, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like I feel like this is the business for me because I'm a very laid back. I'm a very chill. It's hard to get me out of character.
Right.
Like, I'm just a very laid back person.
Yeah.
I feel like me working with artists, that helps a lot of people loosen up because they know, like, I'm not hounding them about their craft.
Yeah.
I'm very much of what you want. I just want to enhance that.
Yeah.
So however I can make your job easier, let me do that.
Yeah, for sure.
That was what I was wondering when it is in like the, like being like a producer working with artists. Cause like, I feel like you as a producer are trying to establish your kind of like sound or maybe like, you know, cause I think there, you know, there are a lot of, when you think of those big name producers, they have like, when you hear a song, you kind of automatically know regardless of a tag, what a specific song is going to sound. So is it you trying to make the artist fit into how you record or mix, or is it you kind of adapting to them and then seeing how you can interject yourself into their personality and how they record?
I'm always trying to I'm never trying to force myself onto the artist.
Yeah.
I'm always leaving that open for them to just be creative. My job is literally to only take what you do and make it radio ready.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to the engineering, when it comes to the production aspect, me actually making a beat for someone, I'm not that producer that likes to make a beat, put it on YouTube and stuff like that, or air bit for somebody to just purse it. I'm a very much a connection person.
Gotcha.
So I like to sit with the artist.
Meet with them, talk with them.
Yeah, let's open up the laptop. Let's break out the beat machine. Let's do it right here, right now.
Okay, gotcha.
You get that tailor-made aspect to each.
Right.
You do that, like, whenever you are doing, like, a session, is it, like, you're doing that for each different song that they do? Or is it kind of like, hey, we're going to do this one time, and then we'll come in? Like, how many different tracks are you doing with that artist in one go?
As many as we can push out in a day.
Yeah?
Even if they, like, most of the time, they'll come with their own beats and stuff like that. But if an artist is coming to me like, look, I need, like, this vibe. I know you can produce that for me. I know you can convert my idea. I just tell them, pull up.
Like, yeah.
I mean, what a way to keep, like, your skills sharp and rather, I mean, no better way than literally just being, like, in the moment.
Yeah.
Taking that feedback. What do you like? What do you don't like? I like this one aspect. Do this,
right?
Will change everything. You know what I mean? So what a way to keep you on sharp, your toes, rather than keeping all these new artists and things like that coming in and you just being like on the fly.
Definitely.
How to do that. You know, that's,
it keeps me fresh, but it also keeps me tapped into what that person wants. Because let's say from the time we start the session to the session can be 5 hours long.
Yeah.
How we started those first 20 minutes, how you feel after that first hour might be totally different. Mm. Like you might want to scrap it all.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? So if I made this beat and sent it to you, that's like a day process of us communicating what you like and what you don't like about something.
Yeah.
I'd much rather for the artist to be sitting right next to me.
That you way, get that instant feedback.
Yeah.
Instant feedback. Very real
time, you can tell what's hit and what's not.
Yeah, and I can feed off of them, see where their head is with lyrics, see where their head is with vibes, see where their head is with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, like, I've had artists just cry in front of me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, walk out of the room to catch their breath or something like that. Yeah. It's those moments help me for the future.
Yeah.
Because the vibe you want, I can't get that through message. I can't get that over the phone. So us talking, us sitting next to each other, you know, that vibe, boom, I can pull that same vibe. So a month from now, 2 months from now, when you come back and you come see me again, I can just go straight back to that same vibe, use some of those same instruments, and we pick up right back where we left off.
Yeah. And I feel like that really keeps like the whole like human, and I don't know if you want to call it like spiritual element of making music.
Yeah.
Rather than like it being very transactional and business of just like, we're just trying to get to the finish line, you know, like it's way more about the journey that way.
It's more beautiful that way.
Yeah.
Like, and then what a way to keep that all just like that whole aspect of it very like unique and fresh for you.
Yeah.
You know, every time an artist comes in, you know that it's going to be something new, something exciting, something different than what you did last time. So yeah, definitely a way to keep a job feeling very like exciting, because you never know how it starts to how it's going to end, how this person's going to come in, what was their day like, where's their head at, you know?
Yeah.
So it definitely keeps that very like exciting moment, like from the first time you, the first maybe beat you made or the first artist you worked with, you're going to be able to replicate that as best you can.
Right.
100 times, 200 times, 1,000 times different.
Yeah. And it helps keep that like that relationship like personal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I feel like that's the thing that's missing a lot of times. And I don't know, this might sound really weird, but sometimes when you listen to a song, I feel like you can hear a disconnect.
You know,
especially if I know the artist and who the artist is working with, like I can sometimes hear a disconnect. Like they're pleased, but they aren't pleased.
Well, I definitely get that. Like sometimes, I don't know, it's weird. Like kind of how you said, like, you'll hear the lyrics of the emotion that the artist is going, and it doesn't necessarily fit a lot with the sound
or who the artist is.
And you could tell a lot of this was maybe just purchased and you're trying to fit this song to this, because the sound is close enough to the emotion of the lyrics. You know what I mean? And there, like you said, there's a lot of times where when you're listening to an album, you can kind of tell which tracks were kind of tailor-made and then which tracks were, I guess, like Ryan had said, like just kind of like, we just got to get this on.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I know you want this to be the 10th track.
But the studio says we need a single.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
The studio says we need a hit. Yeah.
And this, and sometimes you can also tell, you know, if it's recorded by two different people.
Yeah.
Or if the artist didn't record it together or in the same studio.
Remote track the vocals or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I try to keep all of that stuff as much in-house
organic, as possible. You'd almost call it, really, you know?
Yeah. Like, let's all link up. Let's all make this happen.
Yeah, for sure.
And my motto is classics only, so I don't believe in putting out bullshit.
That's the way to do it.
I like that.
That's so sick. Yeah.
I like that.
When you were doing that internship and learning to work, you know, with artists and relationships and stuff like that, was there ever like a, you know, especially with who you were interning under, was there ever like a big artist is coming in kind of starstruck moment?
I've never been starstruck. Yeah. I feel like, I take that back. I've been starstruck once.
Yeah.
And it was by Jennifer Hudson.
Okay.
Just because I accidentally like knocked her over, like getting equipment out of a car.
Let's talk about this story, because this is you can't just brush over this. What is this story?
This was, I want to say, I was 17 at the time.
Wow.
Because I vividly remember it being my first Essence Fest.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm DJing at the Royal Sonesta Hotel on Bourbon Street. Pull up to the hotel. I'm with like two of my best friends, one of which is my sister that I was talking to you about earlier, okay. my god sister, it was her ex. You know, that was her boyfriend at the time.
Sure.
So we were all together at Essence Fest, me, him, and one of my best friends who's his cousin. Shout out to you, Moto. But we're all there. We're getting out of the car. I'm rushing, grabbing equipment, you know. And she's coming out of the hotel. Me, you know, just pulling speakers out of a small Lexus IS250, you sure. know, in the back seat with yeah. me.
Boy, it's almost like this moment really ingrained.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You can still see it. Yeah.
Make and model of the car.
Yeah.
Definitely. Just because I still wish I had that car from her. But that's another story. Yeah. Yeah, I accidentally knocked her, hit her with my speaker, you know, had to apologize to her. But then whenever I turn around and apologize, like, I'm so sorry for hitting you with my yeah. speaker. I look and I'm like, oh.
I didn't just hit anyone.
Yeah. I didn't just hit yeah. anyone.
Right, exactly.
I hit Jennifer Hudson. Not only did I hit her, I hit her on her way to perform at Essence Fest. So she was hopping on the golf cart that pulled up
yeah.
behind.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah. Oh, wow.
So, she's limping on stage now.
Yeah. And this is... Yeah, I remember what she was wearing too. She was wearing all white.
Yeah.
So I felt terrible.
Yeah.
But I did tell her, like, you know, I'm so sorry, you know. She was like, no, it's cool, it's cool, it's cool. I was like, look, I'm DJing. We got a room upstairs on the balcony. I'm DJing,
yeah.
you know, later on the rooftop. You know, if you're ever free when you get back, just,
yeah.
just
come through.
Just come through.
Yeah. Always be plugging. Always be plugging. Take advantage of the moment.
Always.
That's a business yeah. mindset yeah. right there. That is a business mindset
I'm
right
so
there.
Sorry I hit you. You know what else hit you? My music. My music's really going to hit you later if you come upstairs.
And she actually came. Which is like top five best moments, I guess. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Like showed up, no security, no nothing. Just her and a friend of hers yeah. came to our, like, it was just so crazy.
I was to get hit by a speaker and then be like, I don't need security going forward. You know, like, I took a speaker. Yeah.
And it was even wilder because she was actually our neighbor. So it was yeah. like she was staying across the hall from
wow.
us. So
yeah.
Her coming was like, she literally just walked over. It's like, just
popped in,
chilled yeah. with us for about an hour, listened to some music.
Yeah.
You know, and then just went on about her day. So
understandably, after a moment like that, you know, meeting another big artist, you might be yeah. like, I'm probably not going to hit him with a speaker, at least, you know?
Yeah,
yeah okay, so, got you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah.
No, that's a great story. That's a story that needed to be told.
Sorry, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, hey, I guess, you know, like I said, she showed up.
She came she to the
showed
gig, up. So, you know, not that sorry.
She showed up. It yeah. was a, you know, it was just a party. We were just vibing, you know? But just having her there was a moment, like, yeah. and me just being in the moment, no pictures, no anything. Like,
I mean, the fact that at 17,
yeah.
Yeah.
you hit a star.
Hit a star.
In the moment, nervous as all get out.
Still invited to star.
Had a Jeez Louise moment.
Yeah.
Still said, why you're here.
The
and
confidence.
Then the fact yeah. that she shows up. I don't know, man. Start hitting more stars with speakers. I don't yeah, know. Maybe, you know what I mean?
Strategy.
At least bump into them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe I should just get back into DJing. That yeah. way I could just invite the stars.
He needs the only guy you see at Essence Fest lugging around a 12-inch speaker, swinging it just in every direction, just like, yeah. I'm gigging later. I got a gig later.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So, but that was my starstruck moment.
Yeah.
But outside of that, through Raj, I was introduced to Manny Fresh. Like, I met Manny Fresh in the studio one day. That was kind of like my, wow, he's real type thing.
How great is it that he was downtown Lafayette. I cannot remember the club that he was at, but you literally go in and it's a very small, then you go through this doorway and it's a back and it's a tiny room. And I can't remember. It's in Lafayette. I don't know what the name
was. I used to DJ in Lafayette, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. So it's literally, and they had like on the right's the bar. When you walk in on the left, they have like the seats, almost like the booths that yeah. you could be into. And then towards the back right, there's like a door. And it's like a small hallway. As soon as you pop out, there's a bathroom right there. And there's like a DJ booth that's up top.
That sounds like Shakers.
Maybe. I don't know the name
of it. On Johnston?
No. No, because it's downtown.
It'd be on Jefferson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jefferson.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's like a DJ booth. It's like elevated.
Yeah.
Like above and all the people are down there.
Yeah.
I walk in there just because I was like, the front's crowded. The front was crowded. The back, there was like me and maybe like 5-6 people, and because I had to go to the bathroom, and then I'm sitting there waiting for it. I look up, and it's Manny Fresh.
Wow,
just
there.
Yeah,
he's not like playing any hits. He's literally just like
chilling.
He's not talking to anybody. He's just, I guess, maybe in the moment. making beats or something like that. But I'm literally just sitting there and being like, that is Manny Fresh sitting right here. And I was like, it's him, and there's just another guy up there.
Yeah.
And he's just making beats. And I forgot I had to go to the bathroom. I sat there the rest of the night.
Just
watch it. Like I said, he didn't say a word to anybody. And it's just five of us. I'm like, there's a whole club in the front. Yeah.
I don't know where that Manny Fresh is back here.
It's Manny Fresh is back here. Yeah. Do they know he's back here?
Yeah. Wow.
And he was, and I spent the rest of the night back there. Oh, I don't know where the rest of my friends went. They just left me. But I'm just sitting there. I just watched Manny Fresh do his thing.
That's crazy.
So to watch him, so I would imagine in a actual proper studio session, how crazy was that to just, like I said, seeing him in a downtown, listening to him just work was crazy. So I can't imagine in an actual proper studio session.
He's just a vibe, bro. Like,
crazy.
There's some people like Mouse is like this, Raj Smooth is like this. I've been blessed to work and be around people that are just like experts in their craft.
Yeah.
Like, it's like watching, you know, a chef cook. Literally.
Yeah.
Just let him cook.
Just on the fly, seeing what they do, that creative process, that artistry in motion. Like,
just watching him come from the MPC to the turntable, seeing him scratch.
Yeah.
Just let him cook.
Yeah.
Because he's good.
You can see 10,000 hours right there, you know? Yeah.
Like that. It's those moments that I live for.
Yeah. Yeah. So after the internship, then what's kind of the next step from there?
Just a whole lot of DJing, a whole lot of back and forth from New Orleans to Lafayette to Baton Rouge. Because I was DJing in Shakers on college night.
Okay, gotcha.
So this was every weekend. I was leaving New Orleans, driving.
Going to Lafayette.
And then driving right back to
New Orleans. I gotta admit, for a split second earlier when he was describing the bar and you were placing, I was like, please tell me, like, this story ends with the two of you being in the bar at the same time.
I mean,
and it may have been.
You graduated, what, 2000?
High school or college?
Yeah, high school.
10.
2010. So you graduated the year before me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we would have probably been, if it was Shakers, we would have definitely been in Shakers at the same time.
Very.
What a world.
I was there a good amount because my buddy, Tyson, shout out Tyson, he was there a lot.
You know DJ Dobie D, Sexy Lex?
Yeah.
I used to DJ with Dobie D and Sexy Lex.
Get out of here, really?
Yes, every college night.
I had a lot of friends who would follow. So wherever they were going, that's where we would end up.
Probably Shakers.
I was about to say, could have been a night.
Wow.
Shout out to Ash Jones. Jones is the guy who manages Dallas now.
Okay.
That was my first introduction to politics.
Gotcha.
Was him working at the politics in Lafayette while we're partying all night in Shakers.
Yeah.
He'd be like, you know, I got to leave, got to go to work in the morning. And politics was where it was going.
Wow. And at that time, they were still just in Lafayette or were they in New Orleans as well? Do you remember?
I don't think they were in New Orleans at the time. I don't think they were probably just getting to BR.
Baton Rouge.
BR around that time, but Lafayette was definitely like the main store. Like I met like a lot of people I'm really good friends with today.
Yeah.
I met them at Shakers.
Yeah.
But they were working at politics.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Cause that's where a lot of the guys come from, of course, is Lafayette. Yeah.
Like Koyo, Jones, Ash didn't work at politics, but Ash like managed Shakers.
Okay.
So we'd all party together and then go shop together.
Gotcha. That might be a good segue then. So that was kind of your introduction to politics. So where then
definitely
does like, how does your relationship with politics kind of evolve from there?
Back when politics was at the old location, I had just started working at Mouse's studio. This is around 2017, right before the new location. I just go to the store. Like it didn't register me until like, I guess like a year down the line that it was the same store that they were working at in Lafayette. I had never put two and two together that they had just opened up another store.
They just
store
had another one,
in Baton Rouge. So that was cool. Like I remember my very first day going in there, I bought the Pantone 7s.
Okay.
I bought them from Fletch and I think it was like Fredo's first week on the job or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Like just walking in the store, Fletch sold me the pair early. He made me buy a pair of socks with it.
Not the politics branded socks?
Nah, he made me buy the Jordan socks that came with the shoes. Oh,
okay, got you.
So he was like, yeah, you can get the shoes early, just buy the socks with it. I'm like,
okay. Sure, I need that's socks. Weird, why not?
All right.
I want them early.
Good socks, on him, make a sale.
Like, yeah. The socks go with the shoes, so it's like, I would have probably bought them anyway. Like,
fair enough, yeah.
So that was literally my first introduction to politics BR.
Got you.
Like, I didn't start modeling until way down the line.
Gotcha. Okay. And so from there, you would go to politics a lot. How then did you get involved with modeling?
I got involved. Well, I would just go there to just shop.
Yeah.
Like, I take all of the money I made on Friday at the studio and just go spend it at politics.
There you go.
I was still living with my parents. This was before I got my own place in BR.
Okay.
I didn't really have any bills. I was just spending all my money on shoes.
Sweet life. Perfect. That's the way to live, yeah.
So shout out to politics. That was really...
You were in there.
In there. Like, Champs gave me my introduction into purchasing shoes on my own and things like that. But it didn't really pay me the amount of money to be able to do that. So between studio and DJing, and not having really any bills, I just spent all on shoes.
That's the way to live. Yeah. So you were living with your parents at the time. Was your bedroom just like floor to ceiling sneaker boxes?
It didn't start that way.
Yeah.
It didn't start that way. Like, I came from moved back with a few shoes I had found in New Orleans. Like, I found two grails, like some Shadows, and I found some Black Toe Highs.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
From the pack that they did at that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Highs. And it was another shoe with the Black Toe Highs. But it was still in the original box, which I thought was really, really weird.
Yeah.
And I found it at Buffalo Exchange. So I had all of those shoes that I had been finding over the time and just bringing them back home.
It's collecting.
And that's kind of where my collection started.
Okay, gotcha. From there.
All started with Cool Gray LeBron 9s.
It all comes back to Cool Gray.
Cool Gray, bro.
Cool Gray for the cool world, gray. You know? Yeah.
Like, that colorway is like...
The Cool Gray 4s was one of my first exciting purchases, like kind of like bigger purchases. So I have, and then when they re-released recently, got those because I bought them used and then I just
booked. If you saw that pair next to the new pair.
Oh my, ran them into the ground, ran them into the ground. But they go with everything.
Yeah.
Go with everything.
Yeah, bro. Like, Cool Gray is like the perfect color.
Yeah. Hard to mess it up.
Goes with everything, so it's just amazing. And so that just gave me like my introduction into starting a collection. And I think I don't have any of those anymore, but that started the collection.
Yeah, gotcha.
Those and Fire Red 4s.
Another classic.
My first Jordan I purchased
ever. And they just retroed those not too long ago, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah. Do you still have a pair? Did you pick up another pair or no?
Here's the thing. I have my original pair, but it's terrible. So then there was a store called DLF downtown. It was like the first resale shop in Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And he had a pair, but the same year.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought another pair.
Yeah, gotcha. Got to double up.
That pair... I still have some around somewhere here. But I've been trying to get somebody to redo the sole on it.
Oh, sole swap on it.
For years now.
Yeah.
Perfect condition. Just
need a sole swap. Yeah. I've never looked into that. I wonder.
I don't know
how much that it runs or how hard that is.
I met somebody recently that
does. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I met someone recently and shout out to Adam. He told me about somebody.
I was just about to say, because he had a pair of ones that he got sole swapped, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He had the band ones.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing shoe.
Top one
tier.
For me.
Yeah. Top tier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely on my list of cops.
Yeah. So from getting that collection at politics then, how did you start getting into modeling? Because you told us before we started recording, you were never supposed to be a model or you never intended to become a model.
Never.
But you wouldn't know it from looking at the pictures. So how did the opportunity start coming about?
Opportunity came about one day Adam was shooting for politics.
Yeah.
And they were shooting the Planes brand, Roc Nation, the paper planes.
Okay, yeah.
And he didn't have a model that day.
Okay. And this is before you're working there?
Before I'm working there. Gotcha. This is, I want to say, 2018, maybe, right before COVID. yeah, he just asked me one day, like, look, bro, like, I don't have a model.
Yeah.
Can you, like, just step in for me? And, you know, me and Adam have been friends since forever.
I was going to ask, how did you two get connected?
We got connected through a DJing gig that it was his also. I had been DJing for a minute, but he had just graduated, I want to say.
Okay.
And I was doing a gig for some kids at Baton Rouge High.
Okay.
And Adam was doing photography.
Okay, gotcha.
And he had just started.
Okay.
So we met that day and we've been cool since.
Hit it off since. Got it. Okay.
We just hit it off.
Yeah. But then he had one day where he didn't have a model.
Didn't have a model.
So you got the call.
You get the fill in.
Just call me, fill in. And then from that point, you know, I'm assuming he showed the pictures to like Derek and a few other people. And he just called me every time.
Every day like since.
A cool brand coming out. And I've always been a friend of Stussy. So he'd always call me for the Stussy shoes.
Oh, gotcha. You get plugged in for that.
Yeah, so that was always fun.
Okay, gotcha, for sure.
So without Adam, I probably
wouldn't be doing it.
At all.
That's crazy to think.
But I live with my girlfriend. She's a model.
Okay.
So she keeps me motivated to do it. Like, she does of the runway stuff and photo shoots big time and stuff like that. Like, I just look at it as I'm doing streetwear.
Yeah.
It's clothes I would be wearing anyway.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So if they think I look cool in it, I just keep doing
Perfect.
It.
Perfect. For sure. And then, I mean, you know, once you put it on, it's like, I mean, it's kind of mine. It'd be weird to give it back. Now you gotta wash it.
What? That's the thing. I would have to give the clothes back every time. But
come on, Adam.
But Adam would always show love. He would let me get something on his discount every time I did a shoot.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So I'd always get the
love.
Yeah, I'd always get that real politics love every time I did a photo shoot. So I'd leave with something.
Yeah, 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 for sure. You know. Do you remember on that first shoot? Were you nervous or
very?
Yeah,
extremely nervous.
Yeah. Did he have to kind of like coach you through like, here's how you pose. Here's like what I'm trying to give me this sort of emotion.
Yeah, he was more so like, just be yourself.
Okay.
But do this.
Yeah.
Do this. And it just kind of flowed to the point where now if we do it, like we shot for Ethics.
Oh, yeah,
couple days ago.
Was that a couple days ago?
Yeah,
I just posted it this morning.
I posted it today.
I saw you posted this morning, and I was literally showing Tanner. I was like, this guy did a shoot this morning. He's working today and shooting with us again tonight. I was like, this dude's got a full day. Yeah, yeah.
That day was crazy in itself anyways. But yeah, I did. Yeah, that day was a wild day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did Ethics recently with him, and that was me and Adam's first time shooting in like years.
Really?
Yeah.
Just this, like this week or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been at least a year.
I guess that's true. It's tough for me to think because he's been gone from politics for like a year or two now.
Yeah.
So I forget. I'm still seeing all the pictures of you, but I haven't connected my head. It's not Adam taking them.
Yeah, but I also got the PreSonus gig through Adam.
Yeah.
Puma I did through Adam. Right, and this was all stuff that wasn't attached to politics.
Right, exactly.
So it was kind of like me getting paid to model. Right. Which is something that's completely was insane.
It's like foreign. Yeah.
Completely. Like, I would have never thought like I'd be getting paid to take pictures.
Right. Exactly.
You know, or do video or something.
And that's what I wanted to ask. After you did that first shoot with Adam, did you have any confidence or were you like, this was kind of fun. I could maybe do this again. Or were you like, oh, that was a cool one time thing. I'll probably never do that again.
Nah, Adam's so cool. And it was like such a vibe to where it just flowed. Like every time he would only hit me up about brands that he thought I would look cool in.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or he called me about Stussy.
Yeah.
Because for some reason they always wanted me to shoot Stussy.
Yeah.
Even though I collect that as well. Like I've been collecting that since high school. So it just kind of worked. And him knowing those types of things, us just having conversations about clothes and shoes outside of the brands and stuff like that, he's just always been tapped into what I like, what I don't like, and let's do it.
Well, it kind of reminds me, it makes me think very much like your approach of how you do music, where like he contacted you for the stuff that he knew you were into. It wasn't farming out. It wasn't, you know, we've got whatever coming in. Can you just come stand in it? And probably part of that is because he knew if you liked it and you were excited and comfortable in it, he was going to get better shots out of it as well.
Exactly.
So it kind of ties right back into like your whole approach, I would say.
Looking at it from that perspective, that's most likely what he was doing. Like, Adam knows the type of things that I like. I know the type of things he likes when it comes to clothes and shoes and stuff like that. Like, we have similar interests.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whenever... It just worked. It just flowed so well.
I think that you see that a lot. You know, you can see when somebody is just wearing something rather than like,
this
is really trying to pose in it hard or something.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, okay, I can see this being like, this looks like something this person would wear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Outside of this shoot. And then I feel like there's a lot of times where you may see someone and you're like, I feel like you're wearing this because you saw someone else wearing it.
It's hot right now.
It doesn't look like your style, but so like I said, like Adam having that unique approach, same way you have it with the like production aspect, you're gonna get that best if it's something that you already enjoy.
Exactly. And same deal with like Joey and Gus and Stu. It's like they all, like, between me just being a shopper at the store, coming in and just chopping it up, them helping me out in the store, grabbing stuff from the back, knowing what I like, it always helped when it came down to shoot with any of them. Like, Joey, Adam, Gus, Stu, they all just have the vision.
Yeah. When it comes to then, like you said, from you being there so much, you've got that relationship with them that.
Oh, yeah. And I was there too much.
Got that friendship.
I was there too much.
That's usually how it works, though, especially like in these shops, like when we talk to people. It's just be like, I was just there.
I was there all the time.
Yeah. And then they were just like, hey, man, do you want to just.
You want to grab a broom and get paid. Because
you're already here putting in overtime. You want to catch the check? You know, it's like. Okay.
Kind of what it turned into, like, there were a few people, like, a lot of people from the Baton Rouge store had just moved to Dallas.
So that's
true.
So they
needed some employees at the time. And, you know, me doing studio work, that's me making my own schedule. So it's like, I know when I'd have free time. So whenever they would need, you know, they asked. Like, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, sure.
Like, jump if I can get. Out. Yeah, if I can get that discount I've been getting while I do every shoot every day. Let's do it.
That's the way to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that was what you said, 2019, you really like got on board and started working with them more?
Yeah, like 2019, 2020. Like I, you know, it went from part time to full time. Like I just find time from the studio to just work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and even if I wasn't in session or something at the time, I'd most likely be at the store.
Just popping anyways, yeah.
Yeah. I had a problem.
Coming from that experience working at Champs, I'm sure that helped you probably like get on board and like up and running a little bit quicker because some of it's familiar.
Oh, it's all familiar. But I feel like all of those businesses are the same, except politics is a little different because it's more of like a family.
Yeah, for sure.
Versus it being so corporate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to ask you is like, what are some of the ways in which your experience working at politics has been different from working at Champs? Whether it's the people you work with or the customer that comes in the door.
Both.
Yeah.
It's like, and I think it's just the mall. Like whenever you work inside of a mall, you get mall people.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying those people who have that niche to find things at the mall.
Yeah.
Like you can only find it at PacSun or Dillard's or Zumiez or something like that. It's like you're coming to shop at politics because you know the brands that politics carries.
Yeah. The mall thing got me thinking because I used to work at a store in the mall as well. And no one talks about working in the mall, how burnout you get on mall food.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, there all the time. And just like having these sad meals from the food court, but it's the only place you got to go on like your 30 minute, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, I can't leave.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm in Lakeside Mall. Like, it's going to take me 30 minutes to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially get somewhere good, you know?
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah. I just lived off of mall food for like.
It's like eating Chick-fil-A and Chinese food like three times a week.
And I wasn't there long anyways. Like I was there maybe 8 months.
Yeah.
Long enough.
Yeah. Long enough to get tired of it, I'm sure.
I quit on my 20th birthday.
There you go.
On my 20th.
Happy birthday. See ya.
Literally.
Here's my address for the last check.
Literally.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Literally. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. Was there something specific that drove you to, or was it just like you were ready to get out of there?
My roommates at the time were throwing me a party and they just refused to give me off.
Oh, okay.
They were
just you were like, I'll give you one better. If you're not going to give me off, I'm going to give me off.
Yeah,
you
know, they just off. They just refused to give me off on my birthday. Like, yeah, everybody else had gotten off on their birthdays prior to that. Like, come on, man. Like, I got the number one sales record in here. Can I please just
I don't know if you heard. I sold the most product in one day.
In one
also,
day.
Also, I don't know if you know this. It's Champs. There's Foot Locker down the road that are not really going to care.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
I'll walk 18 steps that way to get another
put
job.
An application in. Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
And, but I was also, you know, fortunate enough to be making some good money at the time DJing. And I kind of found a lane for myself within, like, the universities. So, like, having a contract with Tulane and Loyola to do all of their gigs, like, okay. I was like,
I don't really need this thing, you know?
Easy choice.
Yeah.
I just, you know, take my career serious from this point.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what it was.
What you want to do.
Yeah.
So then working at politics, you'd say it's a more, it's people coming in specifically for the brands that y'all are carrying. I mean, I'm sure.
Definitely.
And especially with the locations that it's not like a mall where it's like you get a lot of window shoppers, people just walking by. It's like people who are there normally, they're there to be there.
Right. If we do get window shoppers, it's people, it's on the weekend and people are.
People waiting in line at another broken egg.
Yeah. Right next door. So.
Yeah.
That's usually like the people who come in window shopping. But a lot of times those people eventually turn into like lifelong customers because they don't know the store exists.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And they only discovered it because they were shopping at it.
They were waiting for something else. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Getting food next door.
Yeah. 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 So since now, so what is it now? 4 years you've been at politics. What would you say some of your most memorable moments are? Here's one. I'll spoon feed you one because I don't
this
know.
One, is this, this?
Yeah, well, this obviously.
This on my feet.
Listen, Hitty, this is one of our most memorable moments right now sitting here with these.
This is by far my most memorable moment.
Yeah.
Like, I told everybody, I think Shelton came tell me, I was like in the front of the store and he was like, yo, Henny, there's a bag on the back counter for you.
Yeah.
It's like a bag on the back counter. Like, go to the back. And I'm like, bro, like, y'all about to make me cry. Like, I cannot believe. They're finally here. Like,
and did you knew they were coming for you or?
Yeah. Like I said, they had asked us, about right before the competition started, like a few months before that. And, they were just like, they gave me and Shelton an option to pick which one we wanted. And I was just like, whatever, can I just please, if we got a flip for it,
I know.
Can I just please get the Ultra Boost?
Yeah. Which is even crazier that like, you know, most of the time when sneaker companies make samples, they're making in size 9.
Yes.
And that is your size or you're?
Nah, I'm size 8.
8. Okay. Yeah. I thought 8 or 8.5 I'd seen right there. But still that you're able to wear because I'm a size 11. Now, granted, again, guys, if you send me a size 9, I'm going to make it work.
They're going to look great.
We're going to do whatever we need to do. But yeah, to be able to wear them is like another level of just like crazy.
Yeah, you know? Bro. I can be honest, like throwing these shoes on for this specific event right here, like.
Watching you cut the zip tie off of it.
Fans shedding a tear in that moment of just like,
it was like watching like the champagne bottle on a new boat. It was like a christening. It was a moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? So again, not only I got to see them.
Yeah.
Not only I feel very special that you wore them again, the even more of an honor that you were like, I'm really gonna wear them. Not only are they just on display, I'm gonna cut the tag. I'm gonna make it official.
But yeah,
make
it official. Had he not cut the tag and he did the whole interview just with his feet right next to
that would have been kind of awkward, huh? But they're definitely going right up on the shelf or something after this interview.
Yeah.
Like they probably won't ever see ground light outside.
Yeah.
That's
crazy pair.
If you ever do see me out in these, just know it's a special occasion.
Something's going on.
Something's going on.
Ask him how his day is going if you see him wearing
these. If you see me wearing these, it's a great day.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the politics collabs, were you working the day that the community forums came out? Because that would have been 2020?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't working at that point yet, but I was gifted my pair by Adam.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So they were able to.
Did you do some of the modeling for him?
No.
Okay, gotcha.
I didn't. Oh, I take that back. I did.
I can't remember because they were doing all the shoots around that time.
I definitely. Because Adam came to the studio whenever he brought me my pair.
Yeah.
He came to the studio and did like a photo shoot at the studio.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, I kind of did shoot for him.
Okay.
But my girlfriend actually won hers in the raffle.
Oh, sick. I did as well, which is like the odds of it are just crazy. Yeah.
So shout out to you.
Yeah. Houston and I were there that day. It was a crazy lineup.
At
and
just mid.
No. Overpass Merchant.
Overpass Merchant.
Overpass Merchant. Yeah. We were there pulling tickets and I got one in my size and I was freaking out. Yeah.
That was a great day.
It was so fun. I mean, we've told this story a million times, but like for them to do that, after several months of COVID happening, there were no sneaker event. There was no shake back. There were no lineups to bring back not only those events, but then to be like, and it's all free. Insane. Yeah. So
that was great.
What about since then? Like, the World's Fair, EQT or like the Always Ready Gelite 3.
So my mom was at that World's Fair in high school in 1984.
Yeah.
Wow.
So whenever we got them, we got like the bag, the shoes, the book. I gave it all to her.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I gave it all to her.
Mama get all the love.
Yeah.
As she should.
Yeah.
As she should.
It's mama.
And we were the same size.
I know. Yeah.
So like, yeah, I gave them.
Meant to be.
Straight to her.
Like, perfect. Yeah.
She has all of the rest of my Ultra Boosts like I told y'all.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. I don't know where mom works, but she is flexing.
Now, honestly, my mom's an artist.
Okay.
So my mom
has
never, like, I've never known my mom to work a regular job since I've been alive.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
That's sick.
So she's like a full-time artist.
Yeah.
Like,
what? I mean, that's the dream. I feel like that's the dream of an artist is to
never work a full-time job.
Is able to sustain you.
Yeah.
Not only that, but also a family involved. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. She's the dopest. Like, one of the dopest people I know. Mainly because, like, it was her that gave me, like, the notion that...
Yeah.
She showed you that it was possible to do it.
It's possible.
Yeah.
You can
make that lane.
I mean, it's one thing to see other people make it happen, but to literally, in your own home, see someone do that. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I'd wake up in the morning, she'd be painting, or before I go to bed, she'd be up till, like, 4 o'clock in the morning painting. Yeah.
So cool to be able to do that.
Yeah. So it's like second nature for me to be up all night recording music. Yeah.
Whenever the creative juice hits, you got to, you know.
Just do it.
Jump on it. Yeah, for sure.
She'd wake up in the middle of the night and start sketching.
And then, I mean, like, obviously you have that when that is your main, when that is your job, you stay up to 4 a.m. It's like, okay, well, I've set myself up to do that because tomorrow can be whatever.
Right.
That's where I get my rest and my sleep. Great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Ryan said, you got to just, when it's there, capture it.
You just got to love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just love whatever it is that you do. Like, she showed me that at a very early age.
Yeah. And you kind of held that with you ever since.
Yeah. Subconsciously.
Yeah.
Without her telling me those words, it was like, she just showed it to me every day.
Yeah. So that's the most powerful.
Man. I feel like that was like a beautiful place to end it.
Yeah,
man. Is there anything else you want to hit on before? We'll give you a shot to plug everything, but.
Mostly just thank you guys for coming into my place, you know.
Thank you for having us again.
Yeah.
Setting the vibes, you know. Yeah. I'd love to take y'all to KOK downstairs one day.
I'd love that. Yeah, for sure. We got to make that happen.
Oh, it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
So next time you guys free, you know, I'll talk to some people. We'll set that up.
There you go. Awesome. Well, thank you again, man, for coming on the show. If you want that camera right there, the one with the big lens, if there's anything you want to plug, any projects you got coming up, your social media handles.
My social media is at the... THEDJHennessy. That's Twitter and Instagram. Shout out to everybody. Classics only. Shout out to the family at Politics. Shout out to mom. Shout out to everybody I dropped in this interview.
Absolutely.
Shout out to John Anthony. Your shoes are right here, my man. And my girlfriend's brand, Rated Radical, is right here.
Yep.
Open on Sundays, every Sunday, with Bando Pat.
Yep. Here in Baton Rouge.
Yep. So, you know, I try to support everyone locally, all of the friends, everybody doing something. I told you guys about my friend Wade, who signed to Interscope. We'll be releasing some music really, really soon. So everybody that's been asking me about that, you'll definitely have that to look forward to.
Right.
You guys are my witnesses. You can see my board at the back.
Yep. You got the schedule back there.
I have been working
on
the album. No leaks.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, man. Once again, thank you guys, bro. Y'all are so dope, bro.
Thank you again for coming on the show. For everyone listening and watching, we'll have all of DJ Hennessy's handles and plugs in the description down below. What else we got? We got to plug ourselves here, I guess, at the end. So,
yeah.
Hey, Oh, yeah. We got the I forgot we have the logo on the screen behind us. So if you made it this far, I'm going to assume that you like what we're doing. So go ahead, give us a follow us on Instagram at Shoe Podcast, TikTok at Shoe Podcast. Yeah. Make sure if you're watching on YouTube, you are subscribed.
Best way
wherever to do you're it. Listening, leave that 5-star review. Anything I'm forgetting?
I think that's enough.
Okay, that's enough. And if I'm forgetting it, it's meant to be forgotten.
There you go.
So
we'll find it.
Thank you, everyone, for checking out another episode of Shoe Podcast. We'll catch you all in the next one.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.